Job Growth and Energy Affordability Committee will come to order. First order of business will be the approval of the minutes. Representative Barr, I see you have studied the minutes in depth, and would you move those?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move the meeting minutes from March 7th.
Representative Barr moves the approval of the minutes. Any input on that? All in favor of approval, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. The minutes have been approved. A little change in, is Representative Albright here yet? I'm not seeing him. We'll go ahead and move ahead here. Representative O'Neill, are you ready?
I am, sir.
All right. Wait, why don't you go ahead and take a seat? Representative O'Neill, welcome to the committee. This is your bill. What is your intention?
Mr. Chair, I would move House File 1419 be referred to the General Register.
Representative O'Neill moves that House File 1419 be moved to sent to the General Register. I see we do have an amendment on this. Would you like to speak your amendment to get this in the shape you intend?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, to the amendment. This is the A-17.
All right.
So just to back up very quickly, the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council is a collaboration between business, labor, the agency, and legislators. There are eight legislators on the UI Council as well. And we have kind of a standing agreement amongst all of us that if there's a disagreement, we don't move forward with legislation. And this is taking out a piece that we would like to work on a little bit further and work on some language. So this would remove, it literally removes the word suitable from employment in a particular area that there is some disagreement as to that particular word. And so just so that we don't have any controversy, I'm proposing that we take that out, and that would be the amendment.
All right. Any questions or comments on the amendment? Representative O'Neill renews her motion to adopt the A-17 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Your amendment has been adopted. Representative O'Neill, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the bill. So I did mention briefly what the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council is and what we do. And we do review on a yearly basis. Or is it, no, every 2 years, isn't it? It feels like I'm with you every year.
Every
2 years. Some of the policies, procedures, and the statutes specifically surrounding unemployment insurance. And this year we have just a few changes. There are three policy changes. There are some technical changes and some housekeeping changes. And specifically to the three policy changes, the first one would close a very narrow potential UI tax loophole relating specifically to leasing companies. I'm going to go very briefly to these, and then the test cars will go into more detail. The second would be, would ensure consistent treatment of employees who are suspended from their employment. And the third would ensure that the department can actually recoup UI benefits paid to an individual who had received workman's compensation workman's compensation settlement. And so to those specific points, I'll turn it over to my testifiers from the agency.
All right, to your testifiers, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Richard Caligiuri. I'm the Director of Unemployment Insurance at DEED. And as
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Craig Gustafson. I'm the General Counsel at DEED.
All right, welcome to the committee. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, as Representative O'Neill mentioned, this is a pretty non-controversial bill. In the council, we do have all parties at the table, business, labor, staffing agencies, other organizations, anyone who's interested in UI law and policy. And this just reflects the various changes and tweaks we need to make year by year relative to either changes that happen in federal law or court cases that happen that make us clarify our law. And also, because in our appeal process, most of the individuals, both employers and applicants, are self-represented, we want to make sure our law is very clear and in plain language. So every year we have just various tweaks, and this one, this year is very non-controversial. There was really nothing here to, you know, that got anybody's concerns, and So very, very minor tweaks, and we'd be happy to answer any specific questions you have.
Thank you for your input there. Mr. Gustafson, do you have anything to add, or are you just here for fun?
No, just in case anyone has any questions, happy to answer them.
This is a public. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone from the public that would like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony period and open up to member questions. Members, any questions? All right. Seeing none, Representative O'Neill, you get the last word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is one of those bills that our Chair Garofalo would say it's non-controversial, it's agreed upon, it's a peace in the valley. It's a great bill. So I just appreciate your support to go to the General Register.
All right. Thank you. All of those in favor, and again, Representative O'Neill renews her motion to send House File 1419 as amended to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion prevails, and you are on your way to the General Register. Representative Albright, you are the next contestant on the price into the JGEA committee. Come on down. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, Representative Tony Albright, representing the great county of Scott, and I'm here on behalf of Department of Labor and Industry, representing the work comp measures that have been undertaken by both labor and management for the current biennium. Before you is House File 1366.
All right, and with that, Representative Albright, as the chair, I will move House File 1366 to be laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. To your bill.
Mr. Chair, with that, I would request that rather than, and I think parties all have agreed to, that this would be preferred to be referred to the General Register.
Representative Albright, have you had any consultation with the chair of this committee? Has he concurred to that?
I have not spoken with the council, I believe that the parties assigned to this, both myself and the Representative Mahoney would prefer that this run alone.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Albright, as much as I would like to concur with your intentions here, we do have a fiscal note on this. It's going to need to at least have a couple I'm not sure what the path of this bill is going to be, but we do have a higher power has arrived at this time, and I will turn gladly this gavel over to the higher power. The question is, Representative
Oh, no, it just riled me up.
Mr. Chair?
So my understanding is, so the question is that we have a bill before us with a fiscal note, but the author wants to move it to the General Register?
Mr. Chair, I have testifiers that can speak to the fiscal note.
Okay. Have we done public testimony yet, Representative
Nope. Rivera? Just introduced the bill. And for the record, I did get hit with the gavel last I handed it over.
Great. Please, invited testifiers, please come forward. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Chris Liefeld. I'm Assistant Commissioner with the Department of Labor and Industry, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you regarding House File 1366. Article 2 in House File 1366 addresses issues raised by the Ekdahl and Hartwig Supreme Court decisions issued in August 2014 regarding public pensions. The court set aside more than three decades of workers' compensation practice and rules regarding public pensions by deciding that under workers' compensation law, permanent total disability, PTD, benefits for the injured worker employee may not be reduced by the employee's public retirement benefits other than Social Security retirement benefits. Some payers have disagreed about the application of these decisions. The department has worked diligently with the public payers and ensure representatives in drafting language that would be acceptable. The Special Compensation Fund's 2016 assessment is $80 million. With those funds, the Special Compensation Fund, among other things, reimburses workers' compensation payers for supplementary benefits that have been paid to injured workers. The Special Compensation Fund's assessments are not paid on supplementary benefits. Supplementary benefits were repealed for injuries on or after October 1, 1995, but continue to be paid to workers injured before that date. The supplementary benefits rate is 65% of the statewide average weekly wage, which means that if the PTD amount paid to the employee is less than 65% rate, supplementary benefits make up the difference, which has not been the, which was the case in the over-reimbursement on offsets that should have not been taken. So this proposed legislation provides that the special compensation fund of the department will not collect any over-reimbursement of supplementary benefits the fund reimbursed because of the payer's reductions of employees' PTD benefits by their retirement benefits, which we estimate to be between $12 and $18 million. The payers will receive benefit from paying a portion of past, approximately $750,000 of assessments and future assessments, approximately $200,000 annually that it pays to the fund. And then, in addition, the responsibility on part of the payers will be that they'll pay the $4 million that's owed in past dollars to the PTD employees, and for future benefits, averaging approximately $1 million annually for the next 25 to 30 years. A payer that elects not to pay all of its PTD injured workers as provided in the legislation is not entitled to the supplementary benefit and assessment relief in this language. In addition, the payer is subject to penalties issued by the commissioner or a compensation judge.
Yeah. Representative Albright, do you have any additional testifiers you've invited?
I do, at the request of if there are questions pertinent. But sure. I do believe that at the point that you entered the room, Representative Mahoney had a comment to make as well. He is a supporter of this bill as well.
Before we do that, this is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns of the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion and move to member questions. Representative Mahoney, any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the new members to the committee, the members that have been on the committee know this already. The work comp bill is probably the most worked over bill before it gets to us here, because the board, the advisory council, is made up of the equal number of labor and equal number of business. Representative Albright and I don't have a vote on it. The senators don't count because they don't show up.
You're speaking the truth.
Oh, all right. So anyhow, this has been not a contentious issue that Mr. Liefeld brought to the table, but it has been a carefully talked about issue. So anyhow, all I would say is that this is a bill that's been worked over pretty good. It has no cost to the general fund, and it actually saves money to the workers and to the cities that pay into the work comp provisions. So I would hope that we would just send it on to the general register and get it out of the get it out of everybody's way. And again, I really do want to emphasize that this whole bill has been worked over and over and over by business and by labor, and come to an agreement, and it is 100%. If you really want to get in trouble, just offer an amendment to the work comp bill.
Any other questions or comments from members of the committee? Representative Albright, what is the motion before the committee right now?
The motion before is to re-refer to the general register.
Okay.
Your motion from the chair's position was to lay it over for possible inclusion. I am requesting, as the author of the bill, to re-refer it to the general register instead, Mr. Chair.
And so for either staff or the author, so the bill does, even though there's not a general fund impact, there's a fiscal note on this bill. Did Representative Knobloch say it was okay to skip his committee? Does anyone?
Mr. Chair, this can certainly go to Ways and Means if that's the preferred, and then onto the general register. We would prefer that it stand alone on its own merits based upon the concerns that Representative Mahoney has raised.
And Representative Mahoney, if I could just maybe I just offer this as a suggestion, would it be okay if we lay this over today? It gives the author, myself, and yourself an opportunity to talk with Representative Knobloch to see where it needs to go, and then we can together support a motion on the floor to make the proper referral motion at that time to either Ways and Means or the General Register.
Well, Mr. Chair, if you wanted to do that, wouldn't you just want to lay it on the table and bring it up after you've talked to it and make a motion either to Ways and Means or the General Register? That'd be simpler rather than having to make a motion on the floor.
Yeah, that's a better idea. Okay, we'll do it that way. That's what I said, right?
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments from members of the committee? With that, Representative Mahoney, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would make the motion that we lay this bill on the table for a very short period of time, have a conversation with the chairs that are concerned with it, and then bring it up early next week to move it to the appropriate place.
Representative Mahoney moves to table the bill. It's a non-debatable motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. And Representative Albright, just so you know, we may even get a text message here in the next couple of minutes to be able to take it off the register and send it. So,
Mr. Chair, it's very understandable.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Lehman. Representative Lehman, do you have any amendments to your bill?
I do, Mr. Chair. I have the A6 amendment.
All right. Representative Lehman moves House File 1643 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. She also moves the – which amendment would you like to move, Representative? The A6 amendment?
The A6 amendment, please, Mr. Chair.
Going to your home line.
Can I have the Representative Lehman, do you do the A6 amendment to get the bill in the form that you would like? Is there any elaboration on this?
Mr. Chair, this really does just get it in the form I would like after some consultation with the commissioner of the agency involved. There's some redundant language in here that wasn't needed, and so this takes care of that.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A6 amendment, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Lehman, do you have any other amendments?
I do not.
Okay. Representative Lehman, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And I would just like to note that there are some Reese's chocolate peanut butter candies going around. This is my first presentation in front of the committee, Mr. Chair. And you were going to just let me pass.
Well, yeah, I mean, what, do you want candy? Of course, you do what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Representative Lehman.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I am here today to talk about the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board. It's an agency that is 76 years old, one of the older agencies in the state of Minnesota. But it's a little bit different than other agencies because it covers a region of the state. It covers the mining area of Minnesota, primarily in northeastern Minnesota, excluding Duluth. And it's unique in another way because it derives its revenues primarily from taconite production tax rather than from general fund revenues. My history with the agency is that I was a partner with the agency because I've been in economic development in the region for 30-some years. I served on the board as a citizen member for 4 years. I was named as commissioner of the agency in the Governor Pawlenty administration, served in that role for 8 years. And now as a legislator, I'm back on the board again. So I've played all the roles. But in that time, there's been some concern because the agency is also unique in its governance structure. And that is, it's an executive state agency, but it has been governed by a board of legislators, sort of a subset of the legislature, if you will. And in a recent legislative auditor's report, Mr. Nobles concurred that there were some constitutionality issues. In fact, maybe some violation of the dual role stipulations in the Constitution that say that if you are a member of the legislature, you cannot also serve as a member of the executive branch and vice versa. And so the bill in front of you takes care of that constitutionality issue. The OILA report also talked about some other reporting requirements that they recommended and some organizational things, and this bill addresses those. So just quickly, I will tell you what the bill does, its main features. House File 1643 will maintain the agency itself in the executive branch. So no change to the commissioner and the staff. The office remains at Eveleth. The agency remains in the executive branch. But it returns the board to its former advisory role. It was an advisory board up until the mid-1990s. Returns it to its advisory role, and it also moves the board into the legislative branch, so it becomes a legislative commission. Initially, this bill contained a feature that added citizens to the commission, so it was a legislative citizen commission. But in speaking with other legislators that serve on the board, I could see that feature was not going to gain their support. And I'm trying to do this in a bipartisan fashion and with the support of the other board members. So I took that feature out in the first hearing, before the first hearing. It also standardizes the annual budget process so that there is an annual budget process where the commissioner, in consultation with the board, puts together a budget. It's approved by the governor, as it would with other agencies. And it also contains a feature that includes long-term strategic planning, careful tracking of grants and loans, and report and miscellaneous other changes to remove old language that I discussed. So with that, I also have the commissioner, Commissioner Mark Phillips, here with me to answer any questions that you might have. I would entertain questions.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns with the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion and move to member questions and comments. Questions from members of the committee? Representative Mezzo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess my question, seeing as the commissioner's here, would be for the commissioner, for starters.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Mark Phillips. I'm the commissioner of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, are there, after the amendment that was adopted, A6, would there be any other concerns from you on this?
So this is the second year we've addressed this issue, and I've kind of limited. So the legislative audit had, I believe, six or seven recommendations for the agency, and this constitutional issue was an appendix to that audit, so it really wasn't, the constitutional issue wasn't directed at the agency. It was directed at the legislature, I guess you could say, about governance. But I've worked with Representative Lehman and Senator Bach in the Senate to assure that the language in here that has to do with that issue is consistent, and I guess you could say that I agree with that approach. Both bills have other little nuances. As Representative Lehman stated, she's changing the name and structure to a legislative commission. You know, it's a name. We just changed our logo to the new state logo, and we have to change it all again to a commission. So, I mean, I guess my preference was to leave the term board in if I had a preference, but it's not anything that I would so strongly object to that, but we'll have to spend some money changing the stationery again, I guess. So.
Representative Mezzo.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. It might be funny, but those are local property tax dollars, and I'd be curious if there was an estimate in cost for signage on any agency assets, letterhead, just a fiscal analysis of what it would actually cost the agency. I mean, we have rocks that are engraved out in front of it with IRRRB. Would those be permissible still out there, or would those have to be changed? Is there any idea of cost on that?
Commissioner Phillips or Representative Lehman?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Mezza. I have to visit more often because I don't remember the rock with the article at the end there. But we have changed signs in the past, and it's been a nominal cost. I guess in comparison to the changes that have been so long in coming, that seems like sort of a maybe a not a major issue.
And thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Lehman. Then, so would you commit to leaving it as is, moving forward as another sign of working bipartisanly so we don't have to have our taxpayers bear this cost locally?
Yeah.
Representative Lehman.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Metsa, I will be happy to continue to work with in a bipartisan fashion to make this work for everybody. As I stated, the really long-standing issue has been the dual role, and I think if we can take care of that and move on, we'll have accomplished what we're setting out to do here.
Representative Metsa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think, you know, make it easy then. We have a bill last year that had consensus from all the board members that Representative Anzels carried for the agency, and maybe as this moves forward or if it gets to the House floor after Ways and Means, would you consider just accepting that, moving on with the constitutional changes, and then taking up a longer debate, seeing as we can have this policy discussion moving forward into next year?
Representative Lehman.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Metsa, would you like to have the conference committee right now?
let me speak on behalf of the committee. No.
Yeah.
Representative Metsa.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, I think I can see, or other people in the committee here and in the public, and especially folks back home can see that there is still disagreement on this, and I do agree with you, the constitutional changes are prudent for us to take care of per the auditor's recommendations. We take that very seriously, and I appreciate your willingness to work on some of this, but looking through changing it, you know, little changes where, you know, I guess I'd say more from a personal standpoint, reports to the legislature, I can't think of another municipal or county entity that would have a report go to the legislature. The legislature, however, at any time, with it being a public agency, could request that information from the agency and have it provided. And so I just see it as kind of a unfair treatment of an unfair expense for our taxpayers back home within the region. And, you know, with that, I have a few amendments on here as well, and I guess, one, I think that the commissioner would like on here so it matches up with the Senate file should we do that. Let me pull it out here would be the A3, I believe, would allow the school account, which had some appropriations which were voted on unanimously last year by the board, and communities locally, Mountain Iron Buell School District, took that board vote, went out and had their own vote of the public of that community, and actually went and bonded for millions of dollars as well to build a school. And I think it would be the first time setting a new precedence in our state's history where we'd subject that to an annual vote by a board moving forward to approve a levy that was already approved by a board and also by the community in terms of financing for education. I know that Senator Bach today in his delete all amendment did adopt this. And in moving forward, not to have the conference committee debate again here, but I think it would be another good gesture to adopt the 8-3. Should I offer it shortly after our conversation here? And was wondering if you would be supportive of that today.
Representative Lehman.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Metsa, I'm aware that the Bach version of this bill has several features that the bill that you have in front of you does not have. I have worked really hard to keep this bill focused on the constitutionality issue and the structure of the agency going forward. I've heard from other folks who have had ideas for amendments, and I have politely asked them to withhold the amendments so that we could move this forward and not dilute the purpose. So I would not support additional amendments at this time, Representative Metsa. I really want to keep this bill clean and focused on the constitutionality issues. You and I talked about the Mountain Iron issue. That is an example of why we're doing what we're doing today. The Mount Nyan School District, which graduates about 36 students, has a bond support of something like $30 million put together by legislators to build a new school. And I don't think that that would happen if there weren't legislators governing and directing expenditures of funds.
Thank you, Madam, or Mr. Chair, and Representative Lehman. I would disagree. Actually, when we carried that legislation, it was voted on by a majority of the legislature to be enacted and had the support of many of the colleagues, I believe, on both sides of the aisle to get through both the committee process and floor passage, much like Representative O'Neill and I's earlier bill this year, bipartisan support and moving through that process. And so, you know, I think kind of the purpose of us having a state agency here that's being spent with local property tax dollars is we give a little oversight. We hear from our communities with requests. As an example, one of the other amendments that I have prepared is for an increase in a formula. Our local municipalities have been frozen in since 1983 at the same dollar amount, and this is what we all talk about in your opening statements, local property tax money. And it's the only entity that I can think of that doesn't actually give it back like it would to a county, or which in turn would give it to a school district or a city or a township in proportional amounts, where we actually do divvy everything up. And so I would disagree with your statement and say that, you know, we hear from our communities because this is a unique agency that is regional. And I guess what I will ask then is, do you know what percentage of the revenue that your district contributes to this fund?
Representative Lehman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Metza, we could have a long discussion about tax net production tax, fiscal disparities, revenue sharing across the region, but that's not the purpose of today. The purpose of today is to talk about the structure of the agency and the governance, and I hope that we can keep our comments to that.
Representative Metza.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think your bill should have entailed just that then, is the constitutional changes, and we wouldn't have to have the discussion in public because not knowing for sure whether you'd offer the amendment that you did today, which gives me some comfort, and I appreciate the changes that you made yourself after listening to our communities. I did a short survey last night that got released at about 8:30 p.m. just on social media, and went through and verified the responses today to make sure that they were coming from within the district, and we had people's names and zip codes and emails submitted. And as of about 2:40 today, right before committee, question one was, should the IRRB's expenditures be subjected to review by the legislature, including grants to communities and schools? Yes or no were the two choices. And 87 of the 383 people who responded from 8:30 last night till now, if we left this out for a while, I'm sure we could get thousands of local input for you from the region, your district, mine, Representative Eklund's, who today Representative Eklund actually withdrew himself from your bill because some of these changes. 87 or 22% agree with your approach. And 77.28% or 296 respondents agree with what I've just spoken about in committee today. Question two was, should citizens appointed solely by a future governor serve on the IRRB rather than local elected officials? And overwhelmingly, again, the yes respondents were 10.88 or 42 out of 386 responses, or 89.12%, equaling 344 of the respondents on this. Question three was, should areas that receive taconite taxes, which have no mines or taconite plants, intern share a portion of their own commercial and industrial property tax growth with taconite producing areas, which is another bill that you didn't consult the delegation on, which adjusts local fiscal disparities, of which we know after receiving an email today from the county auditor in St. Louis County who implements this, said it's not even feasible to implement the bill. And in that set of responses, it was again overwhelming with 73.49 or 280 of the respondents stating that they agreed that there should be the sharing within the regional approach. And 26.51% of the response, or 101 people, said that they don't think that. And so I just think moving forward, you got to reach out more and communicate in advance before bills are drafted, because when you put something in down here at the legislature, it is real. And we have a lot of people in the community who you can see in a very short time, which I could provide the timestamps for you from when this was released on my Facebook account last night till today, got fired up enough to respond to an online survey from a politician, and we're not very popular around the country right now. So I would just say moving forward, we have a lot of discussing to do before this hits the general register.
Additional comments or questions from the committee? Representative Lehman, you're the author of the bill. You get the last word.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill has been decades in the making, and I'm happy to present it today. Lots of discussion in the region, lots of discussion with individuals that are very close to the situation. The legislative auditor gave four different options. Speaking with everyone connected, we decided to keep the option that keeps the agency as a state agency, which reports to the legislature. And so that's what you have in front of you, and I think it's the best option, has the most input, and it seems to have the greatest consensus going forward. So thank you.
Thank you. With that, Representative Lehman renews her motion to have House File 1643 be recommended and passed and as amended and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay.
No.
Motion prevails, and we are on your way to Ways and Means. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. First of all, so Representative Poppy, you're next. Representative Mahoney moves that House File 1366 be removed from the table. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. And Representative Mahoney, we've received clarity from the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee that the bill should be going to there. So do you have a motion for the committee?
Should it go anywhere?
Ways and Means.
Would you like me to make that motion, Mr. Chair?
If you are so inclined.
So may.
Representative Mahoney moves that House File 1366. House File 1366 be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. You're on your way to Ways and Means. Thank you, Representative Albright. Thank you, Representative Mahoney. Representative Poppy, welcome to the committee. Do you have someone to move your bill?
I'd like to move your bill, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney moves that House File 2036 be laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. And there's two amendments in the packet, Representative Poppy. Is one of those yours?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the A17-0183 amendment?
0183, yes.
All right, so Representative Mahoney moves the delete all amendment, A17-0183, to get the bill in the form that the author would like. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The bill is before us. Am I correct in saying that the A1 amendment is not yours and you don't want action on it?
It is not mine. So I would like to maybe present the bill first and then have that amendment as the committee would see fit, and whether or not they'd like to put that on the bill.
Right. Well, Representative Poppy, why don't you go forward with your presentation, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And welcome, fellow class member of the 2004 election.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, this is a bill that came to me from the Design Center of the University of Minnesota. It gets some support from architects who happen to be in the Minnesota House. And it is a bill that would allow for a one-time appropriation to the Minnesota Design Center so that they could assist small communities in the 19-county region of southeast, south-central Minnesota, and be able to help them to assess their own communities, to be able to then maybe apply for grants and more fully utilize public and private dollars to better enhance their community as well as economic development. So that's what the bill is, and I have with me Mary Vogel, who is from the Minnesota Design Center, and she would like to give a brief presentation via PowerPoint.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
This is Mary Vogel, Minnesota Design Center, University of Minnesota. I'm still warming up, but I'll start anyway. The name of our project is Greater Minnesota's Futures. It's a development and livable community private partnership. It's a pilot project for southeast Minnesota. I'm still warming up. Come on, guys.
And just have all the laptops warming up. Representative Mahoney, Representative Poppy, my apologies. I just reread the A1 amendment. I now know what it is. So, Representative Mahoney, do you wish to move the A1 amendment? I just caught up to what was going on. My apologies. That was my bad.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to move the A1 amendment.
And this is the get the bill in the form that the author would like.
Yes.
So the Representative Mahoney moves the A1 amendment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. All right.
Okay. I'll start. Tom Fisher, my partner in this, was not able to come today because he's teaching in Alexandria, Minnesota. Couldn't make it back. The goal of Minnesota Futures is to make project funding requests from Greater Minnesota stronger and more competitive. Also to make the investments from existing sources have greater impact on Greater Minnesota communities. And it also leverages the existing resources within Greater Minnesota communities, and it demonstrates the value of an ongoing Greater Minnesota Futures project. Our first objective is to use design methods to strengthen project identification and project requests by using a community-driven, this is not the university telling communities what they should do, this is community-driven processes to assess community capacity, assets, challenges, opportunities, and needs. And then work with the communities on a community-led partnership that will identify proposed projects, and determine local priorities. So our second objective is to create project designs, and we will create project designs and project materials for the community's website, for the community's planning documents. We'll also do how-to project drawings for Conservation Corps Minnesota projects or community volunteer projects, and then we will assist the communities we will have materials for the community's grant proposals and funding requests. Our third objective is to help with funding, and that through funding support, which will help identify potential funding sources and assist with the writing and grant proposal and funding requests. Collaboration is the name of the game. We have a strong partnerships within southeastern Minnesota, and this is our pilot area. We have a representative here who can speak to that, who's head of, or is working with southeast Minnesota altogether. We've had previous experiences. We've listed 20 communities from all over the state. We've really done a lot more, but it gives you the example of the different geographies and the different sizes of communities that we've worked with in the past. So the bottom line here is more community value and benefit from existing programs and investments. And this is the map of our proposed project area. We will be focusing on communities that are under 12,000 population. These are the communities that don't have the kinds of staffing to really be competitive in some of these grant things. We'll also be working with them to, so anyway, but thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Poppy, do you have any additional testifiers?
I believe that if somebody from the Southeast Minnesota.
Hello, yeah, Erin Meyer. I'm here representing an ad hoc group that has been doing convening in the group in the area of Southeast Minnesota called Southeast Minnesota Together. I also direct a University of Minnesota program called the Regional Sustainable Development Partnership. I don't have a full testimony because we don't want to take too much of your time, but to say that I've been working in the region for 13 years. All the projects and the resources that I can draw from both the university and from community partners only get communities so far down the road. What Mary and the Minnesota Design Center is offering is kind of that next step, doable projects that make sense for communities, looking at the assets they have now, and then getting them to the next step of actually funding and making those things happen. Our small communities, even in Southeast Minnesota together, or Southeast Minnesota, that, you know, we're a pretty prosperous corner of the state, we don't have those resources in our small communities. And right now, that corner is being kind of overwhelmed by the idea of Destination Medical Center, and these small communities have a lot of work to do to position themselves well and in a way that makes sense for each of those communities based on their history and culture. Thank you.
Representative Poppe, do you have any additional testifiers?
I do not.
This is a public hearing. If there's any, are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns of the bill? Seeing none, we'll move on to member comments and questions. Questions or comments from members of the committee? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome to the committee. I don't know if we've had you in this this session, but I was just wondering if you could explain to the committee exactly what happened with the amendment that we just adopted and where that money now goes.
Representative Mahoney, Representative O'Neill is inquiring on the A1 amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I had signaled your staff that I wanted to do that. There's two things with this amendment, Mr. Chair, and I'll ask you this question first. The A1 was written to the original bill. It's just a matter of moving the page and line, not the page, but the line number. And staff is authorized to do that as they write the bill. Are they not?
Of course.
Okay. The A1 amendment is kind of a step off for me. This is a placeholder for a private economic development entity to basically do a demonstration project concerning somewhere in the East Metro area, and they would be really smart to consider who's carrying their bill. I'm hoping that it looks at the east side of St. Paul. They are a strategic planning entity out of Utah. They have about 30 or 35 consultants at government procurement agencies and depots, as they call them. They're all a bunch of old military, retired military people. And they have come into a number of different areas and worked with the local area to find manufacturing services needed by the U.S. federal government to revitalize areas and to bring jobs to a particular area. The CEO is coming into town here at the end of March, which is his first opportunity to make a presentation. This is really a placeholder amendment, and this was a good vehicle. And I did speak with Representative Poppe that in the event, and they have not indicated that they needed any money, but I wanted something there just in the event that they did, so that they can take an area that has about, it is significantly lower than the state median income, and bring some jobs to it. We have not, I don't feel, and I suspect there are many other people in this room that could say the same, feel that the attention has been given to the area that they represent trying to create jobs. There is always looking for the big hit. This is looking for a lot of small singles and doubles that could employ. An example is that they did a lot of singles and doubles in Detroit and brought in well over 4,000 jobs manufacturing parts to replace all the parts that were used up in Afghanistan and Iraq, putting 3,000 or 4,000 unemployed auto workers to work. They did somewhat the same, only in the IT field down in Utah. That's what this particular amendment is. It's a placeholder in the event that I have to come back and ask the chair and members of the committee for a small stipend to help this plan get put together. There is a group, and I've been proposing this to the area for the last couple of days because this has just come up, and we have some of the key decision makers all ready to attend the meeting on the 20th, and if this person, this company, convinces them that it's a good idea, I will come back to the committee.
Representative O'Neill, any follow-up?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure we get that on the record of as to exactly what we were doing with the A1.
Any other questions or comments from the committee? Representative Poppe, you get the final word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to bring this bill before you, and it has been altered a bit, but it's still a good project on behalf of the people of southeastern and southern Minnesota to be allowed to learn more about their communities and be able to advance who they are and hopefully engage in some future economic and cultural development. So I appreciate your support.
Thank you. With that, Representative Mahoney renews his motion that House File 2036 is amended, laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Good to see you, Representative.
Thank you.
Representative Clark, do you wish to take up House File 24 first or House File 2018?
Not 2018.
Do 24. Do House File 24 first?
Yeah.
So Representative Clark will do House File 24, and then we'll do Representative Thiessen's House File 227, and then the last bill will be House File 2018. So Representative Clark, we're doing House File 24?
Yeah.
Yep. Representative Clark moves House File 24 for possible inclusion in a later bill. Representative Clark, to your bill.
Mr. Chairman, I have some handouts to go out. But, Mr. Chairman, since this is my first time appearing on this seat at the committee, we also have a really incredible handout to offer that was brought forward by, and I think if you just give that to the page, he'll take care of it for you.
Very nice of you to do that.
I didn't realize I'm going to do so much work.
let me just give a tiny little preface. So what we're going to talk about here today is the opportunity to help with the pre-design for the renovation of the Minneapolis American Indian Center, one of the oldest American Indian centers in the whole country. And one of the things that is in that center is a fabulous cafe restaurant, which I encourage you to come to. So we have a treat from them today, and I'm going to ask that to be passed on to. And I'm going to. I'm going to introduce the director of the organization, and she can explain what the treats are that are passing around because they are quite unique.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mary Lagarde, and I'm the executive director of the Minneapolis American Indian Center. So the treats that you have are from the Gatherings Cafe. It is a bison wrap with wild rice. The bison is not from Minnesota. It is from South Dakota. But the wild rice that is in the wrap is from one of the northern reservations. It's from the Leech Lake Reservation. And then there is a blueberry horseradish sauce, and then just some greens that are involved with it, too. So I didn't make it. It is from our chef, and his name is Hawashde Means. So the Gatherings Cafe is open Monday through Friday for breakfast and lunch, and then also for catering. So thank you.
Thank you. Wow.
So, Mr. Chairman, we actually want to talk about an appropriation that would be to begin the pre-design for the renovation that needs to happen there. As I mentioned, this is a very old American Indian Center, and it's showing its age. And so I'm going to turn it over to the director to talk about why this funding is needed and describe it a little bit more.
So just a background of the Minneapolis American Indian Center. So as Representative Clark said, the center is showing its age. So the Minneapolis American Indian Center is one of the Twin Cities' legacy organizations. It was founded in 1975 and is one of the first and most long-lived urban American Indian centers in the country. So the Minneapolis American Indian Center, through its 9 programs, provides social services and advocacy of children, youth, and families, including comprehensive youth development programming, elder services, employment and training and placement services, health promotion through physical activity and nutrition education. Also included, we have the Two Rivers Art Gallery, which showcases our local emerging Native artists, and then also the Gatherings Cafe, which you're sampling. So the Gatherings Cafe is a unique cafe. It is a short-term culinary training program. And so we have partnered with local workforce centers, including American Indian Opportunities Industrialization Center, and then also our own Workforce Opportunities Innovations Act program at the Minneapolis American Indian Center to be able to place interns within the program to receive short-term culinary training, training in in the culinary field, learning the soft skills of employment, and they also receive ServSafe management training too. So all of our Indian Center programs work towards the goals of self-determination, dignity, equity, sustainability, and preserving and sharing our cultural traditions. One thing that, we do at the Indian Center is, it's a community center, and so it is a large gathering place for our members. And, we are hosting large events there. So there are powwows, there's large community gatherings, feasts, community health fairs. There's sports events, tribal voting. And the Minneapolis American Indian Center is visited by over 10,000 individuals annually. And so, you can just imagine, with the traffic that's coming through the Minneapolis American Indian Center, just kind of the wear and tear on the building. So one thing to note is that, we serve a large Native American population. And the population that we serve is not just the Native American population from the 11 tribes in the state of Minnesota. We are serving the Native American population from throughout the nation because our services are open to all of the American Indians throughout the country. So it's not just the Ojibwe, it's not just the Dakota Nations in Minnesota that are accessing our services, but, it's the larger population. So like most buildings of this age, it's really in need of extensive rehabilitation, repair, and updating to help fulfill its mission and really in a more cost-efficient and effective manner. So with that, I will turn it over to our board president, Sam Olpikson.
Welcome to the committee, and it's completely off topic, but yes. This is delicious. if you could give my highest compliments to the chef, this is like really, really good. Does anyone else agree with me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a okay. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name.
If only we had a bigger kitchen. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for allowing us to speak. We are an important part of our community throughout the state and through the nation. And if you look at the handouts that they gave you, I am the board president. I'm also principal at Cunningham Group Architects, so I know a lot about buildings. And we have gone through a multi-year process of strategic planning. And the clear thing that we have found from both internal investigations and external surveys is that our facilities are out of date. We are not able, in our facility as it is, to, first of all, to just kind of afford the leaky roof and the leaky energy costs that we have, but we also can't live up to our potential as serving the community. And again, if you look at the maps, you can see that we serve people from all over the region, all over the state. We have events that are both geared to non-natives and natives who can come in and share our culture. We are part of a revitalization of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, and we have a lot of potential, but our building limits our ability to both fundraise and both meet the services that we provide to the residents of our state and to our community. So we, again, our building was built in 1975. It's aging. We haven't done any kind of capital campaign in the last 10 years. We know that this is the right time to do that. We can't continue on and provide the services and achieve our potential without any kind of facility, major facility renovation. And what we need to do right now is to utilize pre-designed money to establish that need, to establish and make the fundraising capacity to be able to say, this is our project, this is how we can be, this is what our potential is, and this is the type of facilities that can do that. And so that's our main reason for being here. We have our cafe. That cafe that gave you that wonderful food is very limited in how much it can actually do. So, again, there's investments we can make in our community that can allow us to reach many, many more people and provide much greater services.
Thank you. Representative Clark, do you have any additional questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we did have a visit from MMB to come out and look at the facility, and the proposal does appear in the governor's bonding bill. It's very a small amount of money at this point in time because it's just for pre-design, and I believe that was $155,000. It's a blank appropriation line here, but that's what it was. And my understanding is that would really set us on the road to getting the pre-design done, and then we'll be coming back with the opportunity for more design and actual construction.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns of the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion and move to member questions and comments. Questions from members of the committee? Representative Clark, you get the final word.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm just really proud to bring this forward. I'm happy that you enjoyed the taste from the restaurant today, and I really want to encourage you to come over. This building is located in the heart of urban Indian country, as we call it, and it just does serve so many people and is really in need of repair. If you look at the photo, there's some incredible preservation that needs to happen there. The artist who created the wall here is
George Morrison,
who you may know as a fairly famous artist. That wall needs to be preserved, and there's other parts of the facility that are again quite historic. But I would just ask for the committee's and Mr. Chairman for your support in taking this bill forward. And I'm not sure where you refer bills that are in, you know, started out as a governor's bonding bill. Are you going to be making referrals from this committee to the Capital Investment Committee, or are you hoping to carry these directly in here? That's my question.
Well, Representative Clark, first of all, this bill is funded from the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development, so this bill will stay in this committee.
Okay.
Capital investment bills have been referred to this committee. While no final decision has been made yet, what has happened in previous years is that through a referral motion, those are moved to the Capital Investment Committee. Mm-hmm. And what I've done historically is I've not required members of our committee to make a positive or negative recommendation on those requests, because candidly, the Capital Investment Committee is going to ignore our recommendations anyways. So that's what we've done in practice. I can't promise we'll do that going forward, but I think you can expect it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will ask for a positive recommendation from this committee. Thank you.
With that, Representative Clark renews her motion to have House File 24 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Thank you, Representative Clark, and thank you to the testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Representative Thiessen. Representative Thiessen.
Move to lay the bill over.
Representative Thiessen moves House File 227 for possible inclusion in a later bill. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, members. We do, DEED does a study every year of the cost of living, and it's done by for Minnesotans, and it's broken down by county. You can go on their website and actually find out. And it's they do things like food, housing, transportation, those basic things. What this bill would also have them include in the cost of living savings for retirement and long-term care expenses, which I think should be part of anybody's planning for their budget. It's a policy tool that we can use. It doesn't really have any impact. And just a couple of items. 38% of Minnesotans have access to retirement plans by their employers, which is don't have access, I'm sorry, 38% don't have access to any retirement savings plan from their employer, which is higher than the national average. And those that do have an average of about $38,000 saved up, which would translate at retirement to about $250 a month, which doesn't get you very far. So we actually have a, you know, and we all know this, have a big crisis for this. People, most experts would say you should have about 10 times that amount saved up to be able to retire with some security, adding Social Security on top of that. So all the bill does is would change that, change the cost of living study to say that they also have to include, in addition to transportation and food and housing, what you should on a monthly basis be saving to actually have a reasonable retirement. And just thinking about it from our perspective, if people actually have reasonable retirement savings, they're not coming to us, and long-term care savings, they're not coming back to us and asking for Medicaid payments for their long-term care and their nursing homes and all of those kind of things. So it's, anyway, that's all it does. I don't think it actually costs anything, but I'd rather be included in your bill, Mr. Chair. And I think in the department emailed me today and said they can do it. So that's it.
Do you have any testifiers, representatives?
I don't.
This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns of the bill? Seeing none, we'll move to member questions and comments. Questions from members of the committee? Representative Thiessen, any closing comments?
I'll move, renew the motion.
Representative Thiessen renews his motion to have House File 227 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Thank you, Representative Thiessen. Representative Clark, House File 2018. And Representative Clark, you're the final bill on the agenda today. So Representative Clark moves House File 2018 for a possible inclusion in a later bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I have a brochure to pass out.
We have the committee page pass out.
There he is. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to bring this bill before you. It's called, it's for an organization called Community Priority One. And this is an organization that is located in South Minneapolis, serving specifically and particularly the East African community and, again, particularly the Somali community. And I am so impressed with this organization. They have been operating, I believe, for about 3 years, really on a shoestring, and have provided an incredible service to our community. And so they have come and talked to me about how they can be more sustainable and actually receive some public dollars invested in them for the work that they do. And this is the appropriate committee to bring it to because they do a lot of work with employment as well as social services and other things that they will be talking with you about. So, Mr. Chairman, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Muhammad Ali, who is the director, and he will give you some information more about the organization.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, respected committee, my name is Muhammad Ali. I'm the executive manager of Community Priority One. The Community Priority One is a non-profit organization based on non-ethnicity, creed, or religious differences. Our mission is to strengthen the capacity of Somali community in Minnesota to become a contributing and integral part of the society while preserving their culture and beliefs. We established this organization after we saw the overwhelming number of the new refugee or secondary migrants over capacity in the shelters in Minneapolis and need someone to help and find a place for home and job to generate and get income. That's what motivated us. Now, our board members are 5 people and 3 volunteer staff, including myself. We have an office and class where we assist the refugee students their homework 2 days a week. The kind of service we provide the clients are housing search and application, employment, job search, resume writing, and job training. There's also a senior program in which certain neighborhood refer to us, the senior community service employment program, in which our role is only to be a host agent. We have no grant whatsoever to manage the organization. We request our clients a small fee of $40 to cover the space, rent, and other expenses. Yet, there is another program that we want to do in the future. We are planning to open a center where we train and the Somali community for, you know, I mean, how to operate forklift and bobcats so that we can employ them for the wholesale, you know, centers, you know, that. It's a very nice, we saw the demand of those training, you know, those skills. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Abdullah Wasami, and I'm partnered with him. I have original, I'm from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia, and I've been in this country 20 years. When I came here, I went through hardship to get used to understand how to work. I couldn't speak the language. I couldn't go to school. I didn't have anybody else just to help me. So I realized the problem, and I know when I came here to this state and I partnered with my friend Muhammad, that our people actually need this help. We have elderly woman, for example, with 5 children. She doesn't speak the language. She cannot drive. She doesn't know where to go. I've been in this state 7 months, and I'm still struggling to get used to how to go some places. And that's what we're doing here. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Clark, do you have any other testifiers?
That's all testifiers, Mr. Chairman.
This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns with the bill? Seeing none, we'll move to member questions or comments. Questions for members of the committee? Representative Clark, any closing comments?
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman and members, I think you can understand that this is an incredible life saver, an organization that really helps a lot of the new immigrants who are most in need in the community. And as was mentioned earlier, they've been approached by various shelters and others to help out because they have a fabulous reputation for being able to help people find what they need, housing, some access to jobs. But they really do need to be more sustainable and to have the ability to do some of the job training that they are wanting to do and partner with other organizations. And one of the gentlemen who couldn't come today himself is a heavy machine operator. And I met with him, and he's one of the folks who will be providing some of the training. And he couldn't be here today because of a child. But it's an impressive organization operating on very little. And I hope that this committee will be able to help them go forward. Did you want to say something else?
In addition to that, in addition of that, I'm a licensed social worker, and I've been working for a non-profit organization for almost 50 years in Minnesota State. So I have that kind of potential experience for running the organization.
And that is something just to build on briefly, which is Mr. Ali worked with a previous organization, and when he left that organization, people didn't leave him. They kept coming to him. And that's why the kind of service that he's been providing over and over. They found where he had opened the storefront that they have, and he has continued to provide incredible service there. So I ask members to make a positive vote on this bill.
With that, Representative Clark renews her motion that House Bill 2018 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Thank you, Representative Clark, and thank you to our testifiers.
Thank you, committee members.
Right, members, that completes our agenda for the day. Just a reminder to members of the committee, two things. Number one, pick up your trash. It's not the staff's job to pick up after us, so make sure you grab that. Number two is that next week you can expect multiple extra committee hearings and late nights, so please schedule accordingly. With that, any other questions, comments? With that, we're adjourned. Thank you.